Good morning, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It's Friday. That's right. We are approaching the weekend. We are under a week until the NFL draft. I hope wherever you are, it is a beautiful day like it is here in New York City. I don't know how I'm supposed to be expected to handle school on a day like this, but here we are. Hope you're all doing well. Hello in the comments. Like I intimated earlier in the week, make sure you're not paying attention to the rumor mill, the gossip mill. Thanks to Wes Hodquitz for giving me a shout out on Packers.com. One of his readers said, Aaron Nagler has said, mentioned that you should not pay attention to any rumors or narratives, etc. And Wes just gave a nod and said, Aaron's a very smart man. So kudos, Wes. Thanks, buddy. Here's looking at you, kid. Good morning to everybody in the comments section. Good to see everybody. Oh, and before I get going, I want to give a shout out to a gentleman I met last night on the Upper West Side at the Dead Poet. I have completely forgotten your name. I'm very sorry, but you said hello and that you watched the show and you follow me on Twitter. Thank you so much. It was really nice of you. And he's an Eagles fan. That's the crazy part. So it was really nice. Thanks for saying hello. It's always great to see people out in the wild, so to speak. Judy starts us off with a super chat. What's up, Judy? The more I dive into prospects, I'm hoping for an edge at 22 and Pickens at 28. Looking forward to a smash mouth D. Go Pack, go. Yeah, I mean, edge is certainly in contention. I don't think there's any question about it. We talked about it a little bit yesterday, but certainly the need for another rotational piece there, if not an outright kind of third starter, so to speak, is very high. You saw towards the end of the year when they were, you know, just injury after injury at that position. You know, not so much spinning their wheels, but the drop off was, you know, pretty noticeable when they took Preston and Rashawn off the field. So I do not doubt for a moment that that's certainly going to be in their purview. Now, they could come out of day one without one and still get somebody day two, day three, etc. But I think certainly in play there in the first round. You're such a big talker today. Hey, Joey, what's up? Big talker. That's me. Still the greatest comment ever. Big talker. Oh, Dennis, good morning. How are you? Good to see you. Brandy, well stated. Pizza Friday, drafted pizza that will serve you well as leftovers. That's the thing. Violet used to house the leftovers the day after for breakfast. She doesn't do that anymore. She's maturing. But yeah, we always used to have like two or three slices left over, and that would be her breakfast. She's like a college kid trapped in a teenager's body. Darren, do you expect a draft night trade for a wide receiver, Metcalf, McLaurin, etc.? You can't rule out the possibility. I suspect they'll stick to drafting one, if not a couple of wide receivers, mostly because I would suspect the asking price, both as far as the actual draft capital they would have to give up, along with having to sign whoever to a new deal. I just think they're going to kind of stick with getting young guys, letting them develop with Aaron, obviously as soon as possible. But I just think the cost will be prohibitive, both draft capital and contract-wise. But I have been surprised before, no question about it. Dustin, thanks for the super chat, bud. Nags, round one seems too early to draft Shane Falco. Shane Falco should go first overall. Are you kidding me? Come on. What position will be the next for big paydays? It's a good question, Claude. I've always wondered when it was going to explode at tight end. Like, even the top paid tight ends haven't really pushed the envelope yet. And it's so weird to me because they're so valuable if you can find one who can play all three downs and gives you a lot of flexibility. But yeah, I'd suspect eventually, although it's so scarce that you find that guy, you know, unlike seemingly wide receiver recently where college just seems to be churning them out. It's tight end is such a much more difficult position to kind of translate and transfer from college to pros. You're asked to do so much and basically got to know every bit of the offense from protections to route running to reading coverages, etc., and blocking techniques and pass pro, you know. So it's always going to be a steeper learning curve. So maybe that, you know, explosion, so to speak, never happens on the contract side. But man, I tell you, they're worth their weight in gold if you can find one. No doubt about it. What else we got here, folks? What's going on? Packers just don't do much trading at all. Sometimes I wish they did. Isaiah, that's not strictly true under Brian, at least during the draft. You know, as far as like bringing guys in from other teams, yeah, that's been pretty rare, no doubt about it. I don't think it's for a lack of exploring. I just think they, you know, they have their where they place value on guys and positions, and they're not, you know, the Will Fuller situation was a perfect example, you know. And I do think sometimes you have kind of outliers for deals and trades that get done that kind of skew the perception and or value around the league, and the Packers are never going to fall into that. You know, the perfect example is when the Patriots sent Atlanta a second rounder for the wide receiver who was ancient and barely lasted a year in New England, you know, and then all of a sudden you come a year off of that, and then there are the Texans going, well, you know, we definitely want at least a second for Will Fuller. You know, there's no way Brian's going to do that. He drew the line in the sand at the fourth, and I think he was right to do so. I mean, especially considering what Fuller ended up getting suspended and then missing most of that year in Miami, et cetera. So I understand that it can be frustrating, especially when you see lots of teams trading and making moves, et cetera. But the Packers, more often than not, have been on the right side of that valuation process, you know? But I hear you. I definitely hear you. Who is this? Tima, what's up? How you doing? Live in the UK. Well, hello from New York. I hope you're doing well. Dustin, thanks for the super chat, bud. Think when it's all over, Big Dog retires in Green Bay? Yes, 100%. No question about it. I suspect when Aaron is done, Big Dog will be done. I think they'll just keep playing together until the gas runs out, so to speak. But it also wouldn't surprise me if Big Dog just played another 10 years. Now, you think I'm kidding? Okay, I can still get it done, man. Draft and develop teams don't trade. They just let them walk after they develop. See Micah Hyde. Oh, dang it. Why I got to bring up the painful memories? Or see MVS. I mean, more often than not, they have done a good job of identifying their core guys, right? I think Micah is obviously a huge miss. But for the most part, they've done a good job of locking those guys in, getting them done early. You know, but yeah, of course it sucks when you miss out on a guy like Micah Hyde. But I think, like I said, you can't pay everybody. And they do draft and develop. And look, when guys do walk out the door, you do get compensatory picks. You know, there's that on the back end. Now, obviously, you'd prefer they were much higher, more premium picks, etc. Obviously, but you know, that kind of conveyor belt has worked really well for Green Bay for 20 years, and I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. You know, more often than not, they get those valuations right. What else we got? So what are you saying? I should buy a Mercedes jersey then. Big B, don't do it. Don't do it. You know, we've talked about this on transplants. Corey went through that stretch of like buying jerseys every year, and every year the dude left the next season. Don't do it, Big B. If you got to buy a jersey, go legends. Go Bart Starr. Go Ray Nitschke. They'll never let you down. I mean, you buy an MVS jersey last year, and he's gone this year. You know, just don't do it, man. Don't do it. Unless a dude signs like a big, huge contract extension. Then dive in. Well, it's Kenny Clark, soon to be Jair. Get one of those guys, and you'll be set. But these guys on the fringes, don't do it, man. I can't wait to see Jordan go crazy this year. Where is he going to be doing that, Speedy? Or are you talking about in preseason? Because I think he has a good chance to do exactly that. It really sucked last summer when he got hurt in that first preseason game. Threw everything off as far as, you know, basically getting him reps, but showcasing him a little bit, etc. Hopefully he gets that opportunity this year. And we know Aaron's not in the building for offseason workouts. And when they hit the field for OTAs, Aaron probably still won't be there. He reportedly will be there in the house for the mandatory minicamp, and that's it. And that's good, I think, for the Packers. I think it's great that Jordan Love gets those, you know, number one reps. And I think he'll play a majority of the preseason. I think that's going to be great. And then hopefully the season starts and we never hear from him again until next offseason. Luke, what's up, man? How you doing? Thanks for the super chat. Good morning, Nags. What's your favorite Woodson memory? Mine was seeing his pick six against the Lions in person. Ooh, that's a good one. I have a couple. I mean, the play in the Super Bowl where he lays out and then he hurts himself and then he continues to play for like, what was it, three snaps with basically a broken arm, a broken cuff, is pretty insane to me. It's like crystallizes his toughness and his competitiveness. But You know, there's obviously tons of great plays that he made throughout his Packers tenure, lots of pick sixes. But two plays in particular I will always, always love. One came against the Cowboys. I think it was 2009, the year he won Defensive Player of the Year. He was blitzing from the slot. It's fourth quarter. He's blitzing from the defensive right. Romo goes back, and he just screams off the edge and causes a fumble. And literally, while the whole rest of, like, the 22 dudes, like 21 dudes, are scrambling for the football, he is, like gladiator screaming at the crowd, like, are you not entertained? It's so baller. It's so great. It's one of my favorite moments ever at Lambeau Field. It is such a great play. Packers obviously get the ball and score, whatever. The other play is, again, in Lambeau. It was either a Sunday or Monday night. It was a primetime game. And I've talked about this before, against the Ravens. And the Ravens are going in to score. They're like on the goal line. And they run to their left. And Woodson just legit flies through the air, cuts through the wash, and is all of a sudden he's airborne. And he makes a tackle behind the line of scrimmage. And it is just one of the most incredible instinctual plays you will ever see on the football field. I mean, like I said, there's a ton. There's great pick sixes, anticipatory, where he's like baiting quarterbacks. They're all great. But those two plays in particular are my favorites. No doubt about it. What else we got? Marshall, what's going on, man? For the right price, bring Deshaun in for punt returns. We are long overdue for stability there. I talked about this yesterday or the day before. For whatever reason, the Packers have never, ever shown, that I can remember, any legit interest in Deshaun Jackson. And they've had opportunities to sign him in the past. So for whatever reason, I mean, possibly their athletic thresholds, who knows if there's some history there with maybe somebody in personnel or coaching staff, I don't know. But I love the idea in the sense of exactly what you're talking about, giving you a legit returner and somebody who's still got speed to burn. But yeah, just I don't see it happening just because they've had opportunities to do it. Now, maybe because they've had Devontae and they've had guys at wide receiver that they haven't really worried about it, but who knows? Desperate times, right? It's a possibility. Pat, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. In the fifth round of 2014, my oldest son and I pounded on the table chanting, Aberderis, Aberderis. Then he got picked. That was a fun moment. Was lots of Wisconsin fans had a ball with that one. Aberderis, didn't he, like, wasn't, I'm like, am I misremembering this? I thought he was undrafted. Did they draft him? Man, I'm going crazy. I'm getting senile. See, there you go. I think Kathleen asked before I came on live, like, if I just have a photographic memory or a really good memory. I have a really good memory for useless Packer shit, but, like, there are definitely blind spots where I just have no idea. You talk to my kids, they'll tell you. I don't remember any of the important stuff. But if it's useless, like, Packers info or Depeche Mode trivia, I'm your guy. I got it covered. Mm-hmm. What else we got? What else we got? Chris, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. My favorite in-person play is between two. Ruzzle's pick six versus the Bears this past year and Kumerow's TD versus the Jets in 2018. Kumerow's first TD. That was a game after they had been eliminated from the playoffs, right? That was a weird game. But yeah, that Ruzzle pick six. I was in the house for that one as well. Salute. The stadium going nuts. That was a lot of fun. Especially the best part about it was, and the Bears fans that night, and I said this on Twitter, were great. Like, talk about understanding the assignment. They knew their team wasn't going anywhere, but they hate the Packers. And the Bears obviously came out and played pretty darn well early on. And, like, they were so great and vocal, but in the best, like, most fun way. And then Razul had that pick six, and we all got to, like, gang up on them. And that was a great night. That was a ton of fun. Big Cheese, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. Morning, Nags. What are your thoughts on Penning from Northern Iowa? I saw the clip of him just throwing an OSU player down during a drill, and I was like, sign me up for that. Yeah, I mean, this is the problem, though. It's like, no question about it. You love seeing that physicality, and it seems like every year there's a dude who does something akin to that, like throwing a guy out the club, whatever. But then you get in the league, and everybody's that guy throwing people out the club. So it's, you know, it gets you excited. And he's fine, but I don't know. I don't put too much stock in that kind of thing. You know, it's like we've seen way too many of those clips of guys who have come in the league and are either, you know, milquetoast at best or just disappear. And I'm not saying Penning's going to do that, but It's just, that's not something that gets my juices flowing, right? Soder, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. Everyone hit like and then go have yourself a great weekend. Thank you, Soder. Really doing the Lord's work right here. God knows, because I don't do it. Keep rubbing in the fact that I've never been to a game in person. Brandy, we will make it our mission this year. Brandy and hubby to Lambeau. Patreon meetup time. Got to do it. It's going to happen. Turn up my volume. Sir, I think you have to turn up. Literally, my volume is jacked. So, sir, you're going to have to turn up your computer's volume. Thoughts on trading from pick 28 and a third or fourth to accumulate 2 second-round picks? I like to have 1 first-round pick and 4 second-round picks. Can fill 2 wide receivers, slot, edge, and offensive tackle, in my opinion. Kevin, that's one approach. I suspect the Packers will move a little bit. I hear what you're saying, but it really depends on how the board is falling. You can't go in with that plan and say, we're going to do this come hell or high water. If, say, there's a run on wide receivers or a bunch of wide receivers fall, or your pick is between a blue chip player and a bunch of kind of next tier players, then maybe that makes some sense, right? But it really depends on the value of the players that are available or that is trending toward being available as the draft develops, you know? I don't hate the idea. I think it's a good way to go about it. But you also obviously have to hit on those picks. Chris, what's up, man? I will be in person if you have a Patreon meetup. There you go, buddy. That's what I'm talking about. We will. We had one this past year. It was a ton of fun. Charlene, who I don't know if she's here, but Charlene was kind enough to put it together for us last year. And we will certainly be doing that again this upcoming season. I'd be starstruck if I ever met. I'd be starstruck if I ever met Banky. That's great. I love it. All right, buddy. I'm gonna have to get going. I can't thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor: hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family. Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Have a great weekend, everybody. Go Pack, go.